Lord, this morning, it's so good to see each and every one here on this Lord's Day morning. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us, the Lord will be with us as we're found in his house this morning. And to those that are online as well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Do remember that we meet again tonight at 7 p.m. here in the house of the Lord. Remember the season of prayer as well beforehand at 6:30 in the upper room. And as we come this evening, we're looking at the topic, the King upon the Cross. The King upon the Cross. So do make that effort to come back again this evening. Of course, this is Resurrection Sunday. And we simply want to spend our time both around the cross and rejoicing in the resurrection from the dead of our Saviour. And then we remind you as well of the Easter Convention as it continues tomorrow, Monday at 7 p.m. Just the one meeting tomorrow up in the Martyrs, and certainly it was a great blessing to be there on Friday evening. I was mentioned to some of the people just at the start of the time of prayer. It was a long meeting, and yet when it finished, nobody went home. So they turned out the lights in the church, and they left the lights on the corridor round, and everybody moved to the corridor. They turned the lights off in the corridor, and everybody moved to the car park. They then said, "We're shutting the gates," and so we went to McDonald's. But it was so good to be back in the house of the Lord, to have convention together, to have fellowship around God's word and with God's people. And so let me encourage you even tomorrow, maybe you've never been, go tomorrow. It will be a blessing to your heart and to your soul as you gather with God's people and come around the things of God. Then we meet again here in the church on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of prayer and Bible study. And let me encourage you again, be here and be found in the house of God, studying his word and seeking even the Lord's blessing upon this work. Friday night, young people, we meet here in the church at 8 p.m. and maybe reread the pages, if you haven't read them yet, of Pilgrim's Progress from the cancelled meeting, pages 126 to 150. We'll be looking at them this Friday night. And then on behalf of our Roma congregation for the young people again, on Saturday night there is a youth rally at 8 p.m. over in Oma Church, and the Reverend Ryan McKee, the minister of Macrofelt, will be along to preach, and the Macrofelt young people will be along to sing at that meeting. So young people, you are invited, and we do encourage you on Saturday evening to go across to that youth rally. Also on Saturday, on behalf of Consider Christ, we mentioned to you that their next outreach to the county of Cavan is on Saturday coming, and if you would like to be available and to go along and to be part of that outreach, then do contact the Reverend Jonathan Crane. His number is on the sheet there on the notice board. Next Sunday, the services, the Sunday school's back on again at 10:30, and then the services 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And next week, the Reverend Raymond McLernan, the retired minister from our Bush Mills congregation, will be here, be along to minister at both of the services. I am preaching over in Market Hill for the Reverend Patterson, and so the Reverend McLernan will be here, and let me encourage you to support him with your prayers and also with your presence, and be much in prayer that the Lord will bless as he comes to minister in God's word. And then on behalf of Auchnacloy, can we mention to you Monday the 25th to the Friday the 29th of April, they're having a drive-in mission over at the Scout Hall car park in Auchnacloy every night throughout that week at 7:30. And whenever you don't have any meetings here in our own church, we encourage you to go across and to support that mission in Auchnacloy. And then do also remember that we have our baptism service coming up Thursday the 28th of this month. That's Thursday week in Oma Free Presbyterian Church. And keep that in mind, that that service is on. And then one final announcement, and it is for the ladies. Can we say that the ladies' fellowship evening that had to be cancelled has been rescheduled, and it will be on Thursday the 19th of May. That's Thursday the 19th of May for the ladies, and it will be the same format as before. Mrs. Murray is able to come, and we're looking forward, even as she comes, to give her word of testimony. And so ladies, if you can keep that date free, then we certainly do encourage you to come and have that fellowship together. We're going to commence our worship now. We're turning in the paraphrase section to paraphrase 44. In the paraphrase 44, the page is 161. "Behold the Saviour on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See from his agonizing wounds the blood incessant flow. The paraphrase 44, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. We'll unite together in a word of prayer. Seek the Lord's face afresh. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. And we do acknowledge, O God, even the specialness of this day. We rejoice, O Father, that we have the joy in our hearts that Jesus Christ is alive. We thank Thee, O God, this day, and we praise Thee. Even we rejoice and we glory in the cross, because there our sins were dealt with. There our sins were laid upon that spotless Lamb of God. We thank Thee for that great cry, "It is finished." We rejoice, O God, that all of the wrath of God has been turned away. We rejoice that atonement has been made for our sins. And we don't now come pleading or bringing the blood of bulls and of goats. We don't come offering sacrifices, but we come rejoicing and trusting in that one sacrifice for sin. Whenever the Lamb of God was offered up, we thank Thee for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We thank Thee, O God, for that full sacrifice. He offered up His all, and then He gave up the ghost. He surrendered His body even unto death for that time. But Father, what a joy it is to know today that the tomb is empty. What a joy it is to know today this sacrifice has been accepted. And Christ is alive, and He is alive forevermore. We thank Thee that He's in the glories. We thank Thee, O God, He's entered into the Holy of Holies, and there has presented His body and His blood. And Lord, we come pleading the merits of that finished work. We come pleading the merits of Christ and his righteousness before thee this day. And Father, we rejoice that he is alive, and even now he is seated at thy right hand. He prays for us. He prays with us. And O Father, accept of our thanks and our praise this day. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the greatest news of all, that though we are dead in sins and in trespasses, yet we can be made alive in Christ. We thank thee for the quickening power of the Holy Ghost that brings us from death unto life. We thank thee for the faith in Christ that we have. We rejoice in this, O God, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Lord, bless us as we're found in thy house. O God, glorify thy Son in our midst. Unite our hearts together with praise. Give us joy, O God, in our hearts and upon our faces. Give us joy in the realization this day that our Savior's alive. And Father, he's on the throne. No one will ever cast him off it. No one will ever rise up to overthrow him. He is king, and he's king forevermore. Lord, remember us in these days, we pray thee. Bless us in every aspect of this meeting today. Lord, we ask thee for the blessing of God to be upon us, for the presence of Almighty God to be amongst us, for the protection to be round about us, and for our praise to be acceptable unto thee. Lord, hear us this day, we pray thee. Lord, we're thankful for each one that is here. We're thankful, O God, for thy hand upon us, for watching over us and our going outs and our coming ins. Lord, thou hast continued, O God, to be faithful to us. We rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Thou art not one who has ever forgotten about us. Thou art not one who has ever left us behind. For thou hast promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt encourage thy people in these days. Thou wilt watch over them. That thou wilt build them up in their most precious faith. That thou, O God, wilt give them a fresh sight of the Savior. We think of the Greeks as they came to Philip. They simply said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, that each one of thy children would know what it is to set their eyes afresh upon Christ, to look full in his wonderful face, that the things of this earth may go strangely dim in the light of his glory and of his grace. Lord, bless this church as a whole as well. We think of the various works within it. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt undertake, that thou wilt bless each and every aspect of it. Remember, O God, the sick as well. Lord, be near to them, those that can't be here. Lord, due to the infirmity of the body, draw near to them and undertake for them. Remember as well those that are wet this time. We pray for refreshment of body and of mind, that thou wilt, O God, encourage thy people, and bring them back even refreshed, and undertake for every need. Remember the children. Lord, as the Sabbath school is off today, watch over them. And even next week, may we have that full turnout again. All of the children present, all of the Word of God going forward afresh to their hearts. Lord, teach them and even draw them unto thyself. Lord, bless us, we pray thee. Bless this land of ours in these days. O God, that thou wilt turn the tide once again, that thou wilt bring in the seasons of refreshing and of revival, that thou wilt revive our hearts, O God. Revive the pulpits. Revive, O God, thy people. And give us great times of blessing, and great times of refreshing ahead. Oh, hear and answer our prayer. Bless us in these times together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn, the hymn 120. The hymn 120, the page is 224. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death has won. Hymn 120, and we'll stand after we receive the introduction, please.
Angels in my
read the psalm together, the Psalm 135. Psalm 135. I omitted to say in the announcements, there is these little cards in the front porch. I encourage you to take some with you as you leave this morning. The Mission Board are organizing a special week of meetings up in our Lisburn congregation, commencing on Saturday the 7th of May, and then there are special meetings as well on the Sunday, but then the Monday the 9th of May right through to that Saturday the 14th, and they're having special meetings every night about the importance of missionary work, the importance of the mission field, and there are various preachers you'll see in the card as you take it with you. And then the Saturday the 14th they're having a special workshops throughout the day where you can meet with missionaries and even understand more of what it means to be a missionary. And so take those with you, and if you can get along to any of those sessions, apart from, of course, when we have our own meetings here in the church, but if you can get along to any of the other ones, then we certainly do commend them to you. So Psalm 135, the Word of God says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast? Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, unto Pharaoh and upon all his servants? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi, ye that fear the Lord. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. What a wonderful psalm even to read on this wonderful day when we are praising and rejoicing in a risen Savior. We're going to sing together the hymn 123. The hymn 123, page 225, "I serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say." We'll remain seated for the first two verses, and then we'll stand for the final one, please.
Thank you.
Let's stand for the final verse. Like singing those wonderful hymns, rejoicing that Christ is alive. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 16, I want to spend our remaining time together in this morning. Mark chapter 16, we'll commence reading at the verse 9, and we'll read down to the end of verse 14. This morning we're rejoicing, each one that is saved rejoicing that Christ is alive. But I want to slightly flip it, as it were, because we want to deal with unbelief this morning, unbelief in the resurrection. And even as we read these verses this morning, take note of how often it says about those that do not believe. So Mark 16, the verse 9, the Word of God says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Amen. Unbelief in the resurrection is what our title is this morning, what we want to look at together. And let us unite our hearts in prayer and seek the blessing of the Lord upon his precious word. Father in heaven, we do come to thee this day, and we thank thee afresh that we can open up the living word of God, that we can read it together publicly as a congregation. We can hold it in our hands, and even now we can come to meditate and to hear it preached. Father, we pray for the blessing of Almighty God to be upon the going forth of thy word. Thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void, but it will accomplish that to which it has been sent. O God, hear us this day. Bless thy word to each heart, to those that are here, to those that are online, to those that will listen at a later date. O Father, may they know the blessing of Almighty God and the speaking voice of God to each and to every heart. We do thank you especially of those that still are outside of Christ. Those, O God, this day that have no faith in Christ. They're not believing on the death or the resurrection of Christ. O Father, we pray that thou wilt go hard after them, that thou wilt bring them very quickly to an end of themselves, that thou wilt save their precious souls. Lord, hear and answer prayer. Be with us. Fill us afresh even now with that Spirit of God from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the greatest sins that a man can commit before God, if not the greatest sin, is the sin of unbelief. In reality, what you have in unbelief is the elevation of self over God. Horatius Bonner, the hymn writer, he said, "In all unbelief, there are these two things. One, a good opinion of oneself, and two, a bad opinion of God." Whenever an individual refuses to believe on God and to believe in God's word, whenever one refuses to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, whenever one refuses to believe, that individual is going against God, going against his word. But something that is important to highlight and to encourage God's people, especially in these days in which we live, because even afresh, and I've mentioned in the past, there have been individuals who have done surveys, and so little of the surveyed public, even in Britain, now believe in the actual bodily resurrection of Christ. And even this week afresh, there was another article come out where an individual sought to go against the death of Christ and sought to highlight how it was impossible. What the Bible says, how it would be impossible for Christ to have suffered it. And so time and again, every single Easter time, it seems as if there will individuals be brought to the fore by media and different organizations to try and discredit the death and the resurrection of our Savior. But let me encourage you and highlight this to God's people this day. That just because man does not believe it, does not mean it did not happen. Just because man seeks to discredit it and to throw, as it were, cold water upon it and to seek to ruin it and to dilute it, does not mean it did not happen according to the word God's word says. Christ did die upon the cross. Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, which was the first day of the week, Christ did rise from the dead. And Christ is alive forevermore. John Calvin, he said this, "The blindness of unbelievers in no way detracts from the clarity of the gospel. The sun is no less bright because blind men do not perceive its light." We come to this passage this morning, and as I mentioned, even as we read it together, to take note of how often you have the individuals being mentioned and the mentioning of unbelief. We have the disciples receiving that wonderful news that Christ was no longer in the tomb, now he's risen, and yet each one of them, it tells us, is believing not. You see, the empty tomb had a message for the disciples. And it has a message for us today, even in 2022. It's a very clear message because it tells science and philosophy, you try and explain this. It tells history, you try and repeat this. It tells even to the others, to those of our day, in terms of the timing, blot out this event, but it also then says to our faith, believe this event. See, only one of these four challenges is possible. Science and philosophy will never explain the resurrection of Christ. History will never repeat the resurrection of Christ. Time will never be able to blot out the resurrection of Christ. But our faith by the Lord Jesus Christ, we can believe the resurrection of Christ. So even today, as we spend these moments together in this passage, I do pray that each one will be able to say, even with the words that were recorded in scriptures, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Three things I want to leave with you from these verses. Firstly, I want you to see the verse 10, the misery in unbelief. The misery in unbelief. It tells us that Mary Magdalene, she went and she told him that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now this is something that's very clear in all of the accounts. You go through the various Gospels and you go through the various times that it's recorded about them coming to the garden, and even in the aftermath of the resurrection, all of those that are about and all of those that are connected with Christ, after they have known that Christ is dead and before they believe that Christ was alive, each one is recorded as being miserable. Verse 10 tells us that they're mourning and they're weeping. The two on the road to Emmaus, it briefly mentions them here in Mark, but the fuller account is given in Luke's gospel. Whenever the Lord Jesus draws alongside those two disciples as they're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and the Lord will ask them in Luke 24 in the verse 17 as they're walking with him, he says, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" I think as well of Mary Magdalene. In those moments after she came to the Garden of Gethsemane, or after she came to the garden tomb, and she knows the tomb is empty, but she at the start believes that someone has stolen the body. And she's standing there at the side, and Christ comes and reveals himself to her. And what does it tell us? John 20, the verse 11, that Mary's standing without the sepulchre, weeping. And she's even asked by the angels in John 20, the verse 13, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Each one of those individuals believed Christ to be dead. The disciples on the road to Emmaus believed him to be dead. The disciples in the upper room believed him to be dead. Mary Magdalene at the start believed him still to be dead. And each one of them is miserable, is broken, is weeping, and is sad. You see, without a risen Savior, we are miserable. There's no joy in a dead Christ. There's no hope in a dead Christ. If we do not believe in a risen Christ, then we are no better off than an atheist. If we believe that this world is all that it is for us as believers, if we believe that whenever we die, we're placed in a coffin, we're laid in the ground, and that's the end, game over, then we will be miserable. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 14. Because Paul, writing there to the church in Corinth, he says this: "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." You see, if Christ is dead, then what is the point in coming to this house? If Christ is dead, what is the point in coming together and singing praises? If Christ is dead, what is the point in preaching? What is the point in children's work? What is the point in youth work? What is the point in any missionary work? If our Savior's in a tomb, then we're still lost. We're still in our sins. There'd be no point preaching. There'd be no point believing in Christ. There'd be no point about being positive about anything in this world. If Christ is lying in a tomb, then in the midst, even when you think of the days in which we live, the midst of wars and of tyranny, the midst of all of the hardship and the disasters right across this world, if all of that is true, but Christ is in a tomb, then we may as well resign ourselves to hopelessness and to misery for all of our days. That's where the disciples were. They were defeated in that upper room, hiding themselves away. And they believed at any moment the Roman soldiers are going to break in and take them, and that's it, everyone's gone. They believed their Savior, their Messiah has been taken, our Master's dead. That's it. You know, it's an awful mentality, awful place to be. Just imagine yourself for a moment in that upper room as one of those disciples. Just for a moment, imagine yourself. You followed Christ for those 3 years. You saw the wonderful miracles he accomplished. You've seen the wonderful conversions, the great sermons preached, the great turning of the people to Christ. And then for your master to be taken, to be arrested. You fled from him. Then imagine that news then comes. He's being crucified. He's dead and he's in a tomb. And you're believing just that he's dead, that's it. You put yourself in that position of those disciples. Verse 10, they're mourning, they're weeping, they're broken. You know, Christ warned them of that. He told them in John's Gospel, the chapter 16, the verse 20, he prophesied to them there would be a time of tears and distress. He said to them in John 16, the verse 20, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful. Christ knew their hearts. He knew what it would mean to them to just believe in the death of Christ and not in the resurrection. No, spiritually speaking, there are some of God's children who seek to live in that room with the disciples in misery for all of their days. They hide themselves away, as it were. They just spend their time in misery. They hear of what is going on in the world and they just get more and more down and discouraged. Child of God, Christ is alive. He is alive today. That means his sacrifice for your sin has been accepted. That means God's wrath that was towards you is no more. That means that the penalty for your sin has been paid. That means that the Lord is risen. That means that the Lord is on the throne. That means that the Lord is coming again. It means death doesn't carry the same weight or meaning as it once did. Doesn't have a sting today for the child of God. The grave won't have a victory over you whenever you die. Christ is alive. Peter stated it. We are begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's no place for misery in the life of a Christian. Yes, there are times of hardship. But even in the midst of sorrow, there ought to be rejoicing. Even in the midst of the darkness, whenever the clouds, as it were, come in, yet there ought to be that light shining even through the darkened clouds. Why? Christ is alive. He's my Savior. He's on the throne. And he's never going to leave me. And he will come for me. Disciples were miserable because of unbelief. I encourage each one today, believe fully, wholeheartedly. Have the doctrine of the resurrection imprinted upon your mind and your heart every day. Christ is alive. And he's alive forevermore. There was misery and unbelief. But then secondly, I want you to note the many that were against unbelief. The many that were against unbelief. You know, as I read these verses, it struck me afresh just how many different individuals came and presented the same fact to the disciples. And yet they wouldn't believe. Whenever, as I said, you compare all four Gospels, Matthew 28 will tell us that not only was Mary Magdalene there, but there were other Marys there. There was Mary, there was Salome, there was Susanna, and they all came back. Mary Magdalene came with her news. The other ladies came as well. The two on the road to Emmaus returned after Christ had met with them. They walked back that night, even though the evening was fast gone. Yet they made that journey back to Jerusalem. They came in, they told the disciples, Christ is alive. John 20 tells us, Peter and John went and saw the empty tomb. They believed, they returned again. They told the disciples, still the disciples didn't believe. And even you add in on John 20 as well then,
that first Lord's Day, at the end of that day, Christ appeared to 10 of the disciples. One wasn't there, Thomas. And yet Thomas, even with all of the other accounts given to him, Thomas still refused to believe. So you have all of this group and it's gathering in terms of how many people have seen a risen Christ. The woman, Mary, you have Peter and John, you have the two on the road to Emmaus, and by the end of the day, you have all of the 10 disciples all coming together, and still Thomas won't believe. You add into that 1 Corinthians 15. You have over 500 brethren at once. You have James, a half-brother of Christ. And then even Paul mentions himself at a later time. He sees a risen Savior. And what you have is a very sizable group of people. You see, the doctrine of the resurrection is not the experience of one individual. We are not basing our belief in this doctrine today simply because one man says he saw it and wrote it down. We are not believing this today just simply because someone went into a darkened room, as it were, and had an experience or had some epiphany to himself, and therefore he wrote it down and this became a religion. No, we are basing our belief in the doctrine of the resurrection because so many primary accounts are brought together and God's word has recorded them for us. And they all come, both men and women, all different backgrounds, all different ages, they all come together to bring us the same one truth: Christ is risen. As I said, all these primary accounts, and then on top of that, the Word of God. Remember, Christ himself spoke on many occasions of the fact that he had power to rise. John 10, verse 18, he says, "No man taketh it from me," that's speaking of his life, "but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." John 11, verse 25, as he stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 2, verse 19, he said to the Pharisees, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." You know, that particular statement in John 2 was actually used by the Spirit of God to bring the disciples to the point where they would believe the eyewitness accounts. Because you have it recorded, John 2 in the verse 22. It says, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." So even after Christ is risen and all the primary accounts are coming, Mary came to them, and then Peter and John, and then the two on the road to Emmaus, they all came and says, "Christ is risen." But it was only whenever the Spirit worked in their hearts and on their minds, that their eyes, as it were, their minds were opened. They said, "Do you remember that time Christ said it? Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days." And then they came to understand. As I said earlier, we live in days when fewer and fewer believe in the resurrection, believe in the physical death of Christ and what it all was for upon the cross, what all was accomplished. We live in days when fear and fear believe the scriptures. Individuals, more and more, they'll look for a sign, they'll desire a sign, they'll say, "Well, if you can do something, if you can show something physical to us, then we'll believe." Let me ask today, what greater sign is there than an empty tomb and a risen Savior? Out of all of the different religions and all of the different faiths and all of the different beliefs that there are in this world, what one can say and show a greater sign than a risen Savior in an empty tomb? one who promised that he would die, one who promised that he could and he would rise, one who promised and showed that he did rise, one who was seen of many, and yet for so many today in this world, it's still not enough. Now, I couldn't help but think of the words that are recorded in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 16. The rich man as he's in hell. He lifts up his eyes, he sees Abraham afar off in the bosom of Abraham. In the period of that conversation, he says about, and he asks for Lazarus to be sent back to his family. And Abraham says, no, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, the word of God is there. The rich man responds, Luke 16 to verse 30, he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went on to them from the dead, they will repent. How wrong he was. For Christ came on to them from the dead. He's risen, he's ascended. He's alive. And yet even no one has come from the dead. The stone was rolled back and even the invitation was coming. Come and see where he was laid. And the door, as it were, was open for any to go in to see. Yet who believed? And how many have not believed? Though the greatest sign of all was given. Remember when Christ rose from the dead, he rose in that physical body. The wounds are there. Whenever Christ rose from the dead, there were nail prints in his hands and in his feet. There was still this piercing in his side because whenever Thomas, what was Thomas? I want to thrust my hand into his side. And whenever the Lord appeared that next Lord's Day evening, he even said to the Thomas, go ahead. Mark's still there. Christ rose and the wounds were still upon the body, the holes in the hands, his side. It was all still there, and yet men still will not believe. What a tragedy. Of all of those eyewitness accounts, to have the Word of God presented and before us. Of all of the unity even within the gospel writers and even the epistles from that time forth, even bringing it all together, they're all united in the same truth. Christ is alive. And yet man will not believe. So what's the message for unbelief? Well, the message for unbelief you'll see in the verse 14. It tells us that afterward Christ, he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart. What is Christ's response to such people? What is Christ's response to those who refuse to believe in the resurrected body? To believe in the resurrected Christ? What is it to those that have the privilege of hearing, of reading of being informed that Christ died upon the cross for sin, but he rose the third day? What is the response? What is the message for those that refuse to believe? He upbraids them. Now I think of that word upbraid. Very strong word. It shows forth great displeasure. You remember in Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 11 and the verse 20, that Christ begins to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. And there in Matthew 11, it speaks about the woes being given to the cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. He upbraids the cities for unbelief. He presents his woes to them. He informs them. He declares to them, woe. In other words, his displeasure is against them. His anger, his wrath will be upon them. You see, unbelief is not accepted by God. you refuse to believe the physical death of Christ. You refuse to believe in the physical resurrection of Christ as the only way of salvation and the only way of having your sins dealt with. And you cannot be saved. You know what Christ said to Thomas after he eventually believed? John 20 in the verse 9, he says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed or happy are they that have not seen and yet believed. You see, the joy is there for the believer who believes in Christ, believes on his death for their sins, his resurrection from the dead. The joy is there for the believer. But for those who remain in their unbelief, they are yet in their sins. Christ upbraids and declares unto them, woe. Now, as I finish this morning, I ask the question, do you believe? Do you believe this morning with all of your heart that your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, is based completely upon Christ, upon his death, and his resurrection from the dead? Do you believe today in a living Christ, one who's ascended up into glory, one who's seated at the right hand of the Father, one who's coming back to gather his people unto himself to judge the quick and the dead? Oh, I pray this morning that within this building, for those that will listen online, that not one will be found with unbelief in their hearts. As I said, so many in this world turning away from the Word of God, refusing to believe in the work of God. But oh, that this day that God would have mercy. If any be still in unbelief, they will never appear, or they will never hear the upbraiding of Christ against them. But rather they will hear the blessed, the blessings of God for those that believe and even now see not. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee, O God, and we thank thee for the truth of thy precious word. We thank thee, O God, this day that we can have confidence that Jesus Christ is alive. That he is alive. He's risen from the dead. And he has been seen of those many individuals. And they all bear record and bear the same truth. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for, O God, the truth of thy word that is revealed unto us, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. O Father, we pray for that work within each heart. We do pray especially for those that are out of Christ, that this will be the day when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they will be saved. Lord, bless us now as we separate one from the other. May we leave rejoicing. May we come again this night with joy and with gladness to come to thy house, to praise, to worship, to give thanks unto our God. Lord, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name.